I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Andy Munoz, and we've got Joshua Clark. Just remember, don't breathe into the mic. You were breathing into the mic with Thomas. Pretty bad.
Sure it wasn't the wind?
No, it was. It was definitely
okay.
You.
My bad.
Andy Munoz from the RSL show here with
Josh Clark.
And today we're recording at Rio Tinto.
Just look at it, man.
Yeah,
let's take a second.
On. Yeah, let's go ahead and zoom. Actually, let's see. Is that Danny Boy over there? Let's see if we can get into.
No, those are neither of those are Dan.
No,
that's not what Dan was wearing.
How
I know
far,
that sounds creepy,
how far
but
does this guy go. Let's take a look. Yeah, this camera has got pretty good zoom. But yeah, we're here at Rio Tinto. You guys might recognize it. This is where Real Salt Lake plays. All right, let's step back into frame.
I'm glad you could, you know, inform everyone this is where Real Salt Lake plays.
Yeah, so we had let's get centered here. There we go. All right. So we had a vision. Actually, we hopped on a call yesterday.
Yep.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it was just yesterday.
And our podcast just has that kind of pull. Like, we could just... No, I'm kidding. I don't want to say that. No, but we had the idea of, hey, why don't we just record... at the stadium and just kind of see how it goes. Set up a camera, get the backdrop with the stadium. And this is actually a really good idea. I like it.
Yeah, we can do this more often.
Yeah. So first things first, let's talk about a few things that have happened in the last few days. Specifically, Real Salt Lake winning at home here behind us, 3-0. Were you feeling a win coming from... this club, this team
against
at
Houston?
Home?
Yeah, Houston. Yeah, it was. I know Houston kind of on a little bit of a hot streak, but you know, a Savarino coming back, people in the stadium, atmosphere, whatnot. It's a home game. We got to win it. I always have faith at home. Now Montreal didn't have a lot of faith for that one,
yeah.
Especially going down within 40 seconds.
Yeah. What was your prediction for that? Like 2-1?
2-1, I think.
We said like 2-1.
Yeah,
3-1.
So we were just inverted, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
Impressive win in Montreal, more so than Houston. But for me, the Houston game was the most complete game I think we've played all season.
Okay.
Showed a lot of different things. I mean, that was an unrecognizable team.
Yeah, no.
Honestly, it was.
It's crazy it was how
incredible.
It is crazy how things have just shifted from, you know, a conversation and, you know, I think we should be the first podcast to eat crow for all the stuff that we've been talking about because the moment that we call out the defender scoring. You know, two forwards, strikers, whatever you want to call them, get their goals. Two goals. And one of them is somebody that we've been criticizing to no end, Bobby Wood.
You've been criticizing to no end. I've been sticking up for him a bit.
Have you?
I just said he needs to finish. I've been saying he's been in the right positions, been looking dangerous. He just needed to finish.
Yeah.
He's finished. So, I mean, what do you have to say?
I don't think... I mean, looking back at the goals, and I do want to rate the goals because I would say, well, you know, we'll talk about Cordova's goal later. Cordova's finish.
Yeah, I think we're going to have an argument here.
Oh my God! Oh my! Stop it! All right, Bobby Woods.
So Bobby Woods is the least impressive.
It's the least impressive
because
why?
He was in the right position, but it wasn't clean, right?
Like, no,
it looked like it came off his.
Make sure we're recording.
Go pick your nose.
Yeah. We're good.
You know, it kind of looks like it comes off his head, foot, shin, whatever. Just kind of gets in the goal.
Yeah,
I don't care. Goal's a goal, right?
Puts his body in front of it. He's there, happy for him.
Yeah, it's a confidence builder, right? Yeah. The ball's in the back of the net. Hopefully, that means more goals to come. Hopefully, it means he's going to start shooting. Continue getting himself in these dangerous positions.
He wanted
right?
that one, dude. He did the poster jump at the end.
Oh, he was pumped.
You know the poster that David designed?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Dude, I mean, that's exactly how he jumped.
He was absolutely pumped he got that goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was pumped for him. I think the stadium, you could kind of feel a sigh of relief almost that it was Bobby Wood getting the goal, right? But that's the least impressive of the three.
Okay.
Okay?
Least impressive of the three. All right, okay. All right. Justin Glad tripping inside of the box. No, I'm kidding. He didn't trip, but it's funny because it looks like it.
It did, but I think that was a fantastic goal, man.
Yeah, I mean, he threw his body out there.
He threw his body out there. He got great contact with his head. Beautiful finish. The look of just pure satisfaction on his face after he scored that.
Look at the camera when you talk.
I was looking at you. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, you're good.
I'm so used to you sitting across from me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
So I'm gonna look at the camera and just pretend that I'm looking at you in the camera.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Look into the camera. There you go.
I'm sorry. This is new to me.
So, Justin Glad.
Justin, I think his was more impressive than Cordova's.
Yeah,
changed my mind.
Threw his head out there.
Changed my mind.
Justin Miram for this club has just been ridiculous.
We were just talking about Justin Glad, though.
I know, but Justin Miram.
He served the ball in.
He served the ball into.
Justin Miram's been good.
Yeah, no, he has been. But, okay, I agree with you. Justin Glad puts himself out there. Literally, I wouldn't say, you know. Sacrifices his body. I mean, he literally just flung himself out there.
Right, which is what you're supposed to do.
He gets the header on.
Yeah, it's a no keeper stopping that.
It's a deflection. Now, Brian Dunseth's call made it sound like it was more calculated than it was, right? Like Justin Glad redirected or directed the. I don't think so, man.
I mean, think he did.
No, dude.
Yeah.
No,
the ball goes
no.
from.
No.
Whipping in from the corner to straight into the back of the net. That is changing direction.
I mean, I don't know if he was confident in thinking that he was going to get his head on it. But okay, credit to Justin Glad. I think you might be right, but that's not the most impressive goal for me.
Okay, Sergio, explain to me why Cordova's
dude,
is that impressive.
Because the control and the touch and the patience inside the box, dude.
But isn't that what we've been complaining about this entire time?
What?
That he's just taking too many touches?
No, but it was
that ball barely goes in the net,
bro. But it was perfectly like placed and planted.
How was it placed?
I mean, he's got the defender on his right side, the defender on the left side.
If it was perfectly placed, it wouldn't have taken three touches off three different people to go in the back of the net.
I mean,
it was perfectly placed.
No, but
he would have hammered that into the corner
just
pace.
No, but just like the poise and the patience. You even said this though.
There was poise. I'm not arguing that it wasn't impressive.
You said that anybody else. Who had that opportunity would have skied it or panicked. The goalkeeper would have gone.
Anyone
there.
Else on this team probably.
Right.
Except Sava. Sava would have Sava would have like gone around the world and
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, for me it's Sergio Cordova. It's the patience, dude. When you've got that many defenders and you've got the keeper coming out towards you and you've got enough I mean if you go back and look at the replay, I mean he knows where he's directing the ball.
I was sitting right up there. I saw the whole thing.
hey guys, if you didn't know, we're at the Riot, we're recording.
It's right over there.
Yeah.
I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I mean it was a good goal. I'm glad he scored the goal.
But you say Justin Glad's is better?
Yes, I do. He was this close to not having a goal.
I don't know.
One guy was this close to clearing that off the goal line because it was slowly floating from the keeper's hand into the back of the net.
Well, for me, I mean, that's just kind of like it's more of a beautiful goal.
I think it's more luck than anything.
No, I don't
think
so.
His goal in Montreal, okay. Way prettier.
Yeah.
Because he had to go across his body, pick out the far post with pace. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's banging in goals. And I think this is the confidence we need from him for the club to score for more goals.
Sure.
So I'm just happy. I want to see it continue. Part of me said we have one game until the international break because I want to keep this hot streak going.
Yeah. And
we're going to take 2 weeks off.
Who's leaving us? Rubio Rubin? Guatemala?
Maybe. I don't know if they have any games.
All right. If you guys have been paying attention, so Rubio Rubin, he changed, right?
Yep, he filed a one-time switch for Guatemala, yep.
One-time switch. Did you see that David Ochoa commented today at Aaron Herrera in the comments?
Basically telling him to do the same thing?
Yeah.
if I'm Aaron Herrera, I'm seriously considering it.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I
he's
guess.
He's gotten no looks from the U.S.
Yeah.
No real looks, which I believe he should. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to get some national team caps under your belt, that might be the way to go.
David Ochoa, also, by the way, in Oxnard this week. Absent.
Yeah.
We still don't know.
I think we can all assume that he's gone.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
I do want to go back a little bit on what I said last episode.
What'd you say?
I can't really remember, but I was a little harsh on Ochoa, I think,
right? Yeah, dude. You were harsh, and the funny thing is that he reacted to our story.
I thought we were going to get beat up.
With the title?
Yeah.
No, I went back and listened. That was actually quite nice to Ochoa.
I think I don't think either of us were too harsh, but...
No. We both said it. I think we both said it. He would be better anywhere else.
Better off, yeah.
Better off anywhere else.
And I think... This is going to be one of those things that
whether it's your
when everything well, but I think once when everything settles, I do think this is going to be one that we have to try not to say anything to get myself in trouble. We might be questioning why David Ochoa is not here later.
Questioning. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
That's it.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea what's
going
on.
Yeah. We'll talk offline. But
okay. Wow. You know something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Right.
I heard something.
Oh, sources.
So,
all right.
But I don't want to get into detail until anything happens, right?
Because no,
anything
not.
Could change. So,
of course not.
But
I'd
I
be
do
surprised
think
to see him back.
Though I would, there's a 99% chance we're never seeing Ochoa again in RSL colors.
Wow. Wow. Can you say that?
That's just a feeling of mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a feeling.
I mean, he's been sent down to the Monarchs. He's in California on game day, like, why do you think he's ever going to come back here? To me, that says a bridge has been burned by either us or the club.
Gotcha.
Or by him or the club, I should say.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, I wouldn't, no more villain for RSL, I don't think.
Interesting, wow.
We have to go all in on the McMath train, and then, Beavers do snip, which are, again, supposedly generational keepers just like Ochoa, so we'll see.
Yeah, dude, but are you ready to go through that time lapse with Beaver, like wait another 5 or 6 years to this point, and then you potentially lose him? I mean, Ochoa,
yeah, that's the thing,
has
is
a
like,
lot of promise, and
right.
It just kind of sucks.
And then
like,
we're
that
just
was so
like,
much investment. Yeah,
there it goes, right? So
I wonder what happened. You'll have to tell
me. It's the patience, yeah. Do we really want to go through all that again just to potentially only see it for, what, half a season that felt like?
David Ochoa, who pissed you off, dude? Let us know.
Yeah, well...
Or you let us know if you're mad at over some reason. Dude, I would love to just... We could bridge the gap, dude. We could bring the front office together and David Ochoa.
Are we going to be the mediators?
Yeah, we'll be the mediators, I feel like I'm pretty good at that sometimes.
Yeah, I think you could do it. I couldn't. Yeah. I would just start laughing.
Yeah. So Zach McMath, we're all bought in. You're happy
Fantastic
with
saves,
yeah.
The only real knock and problem I have with McMath lately is that distribution, man.
Yeah.
The ball goes back to him or there's a goal kick. It's almost 100% of the time you're looking at a turnover, right?
Yeah.
And then you're on the back foot again. So I wish, Raimondo could give him some lessons.
It's
That'd
just
be
being
fantastic.
Patient on the ball, slowing the ball, like slowing the game down.
Right.
If you're not a confident keeper, like if you don't have the footwork like Nick Raimondo had where you
right.
have full confidence to like, basically embarrass forwards who were going after it, right?
Right.
If you're not that, just boot it out, dude. Get
well,
rid
and
of
that's,
it.
And that's what he's doing, but that's what's causing the turnover,
yeah,
right?
I guess, yeah.
There were times...
The minute I said that, I'm like, wait, that's
right.
a turnover.
Yeah. So there were times after Sovereigno
came
back on the
here?
Field. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Hey, guys, we're at Rio Tinto.
Hey, Rio Tinto.
Okay.
Right, Sovereigno would be along the right side of the pitch, and he'd be riding the touchline when McMath had the ball.
Yeah.
Expecting one of those ridiculous sidewinders from Nick Raimondo.
Right to your feet.
And it's just not coming.
Yeah.
Right? So that's something Sovereigno is going to have to adjust to as well.
Dude, I could picture Nick Raimondo sidewinder right now. He would almost kind of get a spin on the ball and then just hit it with the outside
of
his foot.
Beautiful.
I could do those in indoor, bro.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Because indoor is only like 40 feet from where I
All you have to do is touch the ball with a little bit of spin and it's kind of going somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my one big knock on McMath right now is just the
distribution
is rough.
Yeah.
But
I mean, everything
as long
there.
As he's stopping shots, it's
yeah.
it is what it is, right? It's fine.
He's looking good.
Yes, he's making some big saves, which we can all appreciate after having Nick Raimondo on goal for so long. That was one of the biggest fears when he retired was who's going to be out there making saves. So
right, and McMath is kind of living up to it. I mean, Ochoa had a few. I mean, I don't feel like we saw enough of Ochoa, but man, I don't know. I think Ochoa was a great showboater, like the villain, you know.
I think his antics may have covered some other.
So now Zach McMath is kind of proving that with his play.
Yep.
He doesn't have to do much of that, so it could be a win-win for us. Hey, guys, RSL show through KSL Sports. We were at the airport to welcome Severino. If you guys saw that video, that was exclusive content. Again, we were invited by Real Salt Lake to get out there and be there in time for Severino's arrival. Dude, who's driving a car through the riots?
I don't know.
Who is that? Dude, there's literally an SUV right here. That's got to be
just
like
going
someone's
along
family.
The concourse.
What is going on here?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's got to be like a player's wife or something.
Something you don't see every day right there.
No, I waved at the car, and I'm like, what's going on?
Why am I waving?
Yeah, anyway. So went to the airport. I got to interview Severino in Espanol, and there was something that he said that, you know, he was happy to be back, but it was – he kind of emphasized that it was a tough decision to come back, like a tough choice.
Because he had options elsewhere as well, right? That's kind of what
it didn't sound like there were very many, but it sounded like Real Salt Lake started to talk to him in January. Through that time, he was kind of talking to, you know, he was in Cordova's ear, kind of saying things about the club, like the city, how the play here was. But when I was talking to him, I remember I asked him if he was happy to be back, and he kind of led with, like, it's a tough decision for me. And so I think through the translation, you kind of lose that because you just kind of read that and you kind of skim over it. Mm-hmm. And you tend to pick up more on the positive. But I wish I could elaborate on that more, but we didn't really have that much time with him at that time. But from what I'm hearing, just from, like, sentiments online, RSL talk in general, is he seems to be happy. And then from the reception that he got here when he was about to get subbed on,
there's no way he's not happy.
No, I mean, dude, that's like a hero's welcome,
right? So they, you know, the substitutes get off the bench early in the second half
here at Rio Tinto.
Let's be obnoxious with this.
Yeah, I know. Hey guys, we're recording at Rio Tinto, the Riot.
So for
Real Salt Lake
but
Stadium.
For those that don't know, the substitutes warm up behind the north goal.
Yep.
The second Severino started warming up, all you could hear was Severino chants, right?
Yeah.
And then the moment came where, you know, the coach signals to have Severino come over. As soon as he starts running over, this place erupts, right?
Yeah.
The second his numbers held up, this place erupts. And then the second he steps on the field, place absolutely erupts. This place was electric, bro.
Who do you like seeing in the number 11, Severino or Rusnak?
Is that even a question?
Yeah.
Come on.
Severino, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like he's given it a little bit more of... Here, take a step back so your head's not cut off. There you go. I feel like he's going to do the number justice. Obviously, you know, didn't bag a goal, but, I mean, you don't really expect him to. He told Pablo in training that he felt like he had 20 minutes in this one.
Right.
Was there anything that stood out from his play?
Well, I mean, he did attempt a bicycle kick that he nearly scored on.
Yeah.
You know, from the second he came in, though, the level of play increased tenfold. He was quick on the ball. The interchanges, the 1-2-3s, the, you know, the triangle passing, it all just increased quickly.
Dramatically.
And we looked that much more dangerous when he came on the field.
You got a little bit of Venezuelan flavor now.
You just got a little bit of DP flavor, man.
Yeah.
You have real talent on the field, elevating everyone else's game. And I think that was the biggest impact he had that match.
Yep.
Now, had he scored that bicycle kick, he's an absolute legend forever. No one's going to forget him.
Retire now.
Right.
Hang his number up.
Hey, but honestly, even Javi,
Javi
commented on Twitter and said he approves of him wearing the 11.
Wow.
So, you know, big words.
That.
I don't think he ever said that about Albert. So
no way. No.
So that's a good thing.
It's amazing, man.
Yep.
I had a thought, and it just...
And you lost your thought.
Totally lost it. So Severino, number 11, comes back. It's 20 minutes. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, if he would have gotten the goal, I mean, he'd be done.
Yeah.
No, here's my thought. So on last week's episode, if you guys didn't notice or didn't listen, we were here also. We were at training. We spoke to a brand new fan. Scott, what's up, dude? Was great to meet that. Dude, I was just kind of thinking, I'm like, he's at the airport and he's at training, and
right.
It's like
he's bought in.
Yeah, he's bought in.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, we weren't even doing that stuff as fans. Well, we didn't know about it really. Right?
I didn't really know about it. That
yeah.
was one of the big things. But you know, talking to him, and I saw him after he left the booth with Dunny on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
And he's, like, reinvigorating my fandom in ways. Right?
That's
like,
pretty cool.
I remember being that pumped about everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss it. So it's cool to see a new fan, you know, this far into it, be that excited, be that hype. You know, I just...
Yeah.
I love it.
Go back and listen to the episode. We talked to Scott. But also we spoke to Tom Hackett from KSL Sports, who is back with us. There's like a lockout in Canadian football, so he's just kind of waiting to hash those details out. So we're glad to have him back. But Tom Hackett was here at training too, had talked to Pablo about, or actually Severino, just how they were kind of, you know, tearing it up in training together, him and Yoni Menendez.
Yep.
Just linking up and kind of adding like that new flavor, that new spice, which is something that we've commented on this podcast before, where it's like, you know, we need that magic, right? Like that Javi Morales or that burrito magic.
Someone that can just make something happen out of nothing, right?
It's entertaining football.
Yep.
It's going to make the other team guess where it's not so predictable. And, you know, just with Severino's return to this game, I felt like there was a lot more creativity just from everyone involved in play. And even though we're still kind of whipping balls into the box, it wasn't so... I don't know. It just wasn't like...
We weren't relying on that to create a chance.
It just wasn't so predictable. Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
well, this game, we had two or three opportunities. There were long diagonals through the middle, which isn't something that's happened.
Yeah, just point. We got to, like, John Madden this, dude.
Right, so...
Over here. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, what do we got?
Look
is that a Lobo?
Guy. Yeah, it's a Lobo. Oh, Lobo.
Lobo sighting.
All right. Wait, finish your last thought.
I don't remember what I was saying.
Yeah, Trey just walked over here. Dude, hey, what's up, dude? How
we're
you
about
doing?
About to get kicked out.
No, it's I just wanted to call you RSL Jesus, man, honestly. How are you, dude?
I'm good. I don't know that I deserve to be called RSL Jesus, though.
You do, dude. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, great. You guys just got done with media availability?
We did, yeah. Pablo, Marcelo Silva, Zach McMath, Bobby Wood is going to be on Bill Riley's show.
Dude. You're making it happen.
Your boy Jasper Loffelson is going to be on with Spence Checkets today.
He's a big fan of him.
Jefferson Severino is going to be on your sister show in Espanol, El Show RSL.
Real. El Show Real, close.
El Show Real, really?
Yeah, that's what they call themselves.
Why is their Twitter handle El Show RSL?
It's probably just because...
I don't know anybody's names. I only know their Twitter handles. So.
Really? Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's Joseph, Alex, and Carlos.
Yeah, yep.
Carlos.
Sometimes Cheeky hops on there.
Oh, yeah, Cheeky. Yeah. Cheeky's just trying to get a
paycheck. How's life? What are you guys doing? On a random Tuesday hanging out with a riot?
Yeah, man. Yeah. This is the best way. This is proof to KSL that we actually work.
So,
got video.
I know that we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but... Just give me your thoughts on the vibes in the stadium, because the aesthetics are amazing. There's claret and cobalt everywhere. There is cool murals. There are great signs. You got iconic player images on every door, like Tyler Gibbons, David Dryden, the whole crew just crushing it.
Yeah.
When we're back on June 18th, we'll have a seventh straight sellout.
Here, I'll come this way.
There we go. Seventh straight sellout.
Frame.
All because of Josh's efforts.
Yeah.
I
think you got to credit the RSL show with a lot of that, dude.
100%.
Yeah.
Vibes,
crowds, it's us.
Vibes
it's
are
us.
Immaculate.
No, dude.
I mean, I appreciate you guys following the Claret and Cobalt lead on, spreading the good cheer.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Listen, man, I actually like it a lot. I think the attention to detail, where there used to just be a lot of concrete just exposed. I don't know. I kind of like I like the concrete look, but the more that stuff is going up and kind of making it feel like it's RSL's, like the most notably is like where the players tunnel where they come out, not like during the game, but when they come in and they get photographed and all that. The one in the south, is that southwest? Southwest corner?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, southwest corner. I love it, man. The murals, the efforts. I mean, I think everyone is pumped, dude, and it's just something that's new and refreshing, and I feel like, I don't know. I think it's re-energizing the old fan base, but then it's also attracting, like, new fan bases. We literally just talked about that kid, Scott, that we met, that Dunny took up into the box,
sure.
And that kid is like, I mean, you would think his dad was like Kyle Beckerman
right.
or something.
One of the big changes I noticed Saturday was on the West Concourse. There's like string lights.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then I think I wanted to bring this up earlier, but one of the biggest changes and that helped an incredible amount on Saturday was moving Labatta down one level. So now the entire supporter section is together on one row.
That's pretty cool.
It's not like a weird triangle. It made a world of a difference to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just having Barra Real kind of integrated in that effectively safe standing, because they removed a bunch of chairs. The vibes in the south are incredible, and it's only going to get better. The TIFO system's going in. We'll see if that's up and running by the 18th. I think it will be. Keep an eye on Tyler Gibbons' RSL socials, and Nick Lamping's probably going to have some kick-ass video to examine that.
Yeah.
We'll see what the fans want to do there on the 18th against San, like having what, 3 out of 4 and 5 out of 7 at home coming out of the Vancouver game this weekend. There's real opportunity here on and off the field to keep setting records. You guys are aware of all the records we're at right now, right? So you got the sellout record.
You got the best home record since like
best home matching 2010, 2014. 14 points, sorry, 25 points through 14 games, ties 2016. If we win in Vancouver, we'll have a 4-game MLS regular season win streak for the first time since June of 2013.
Trey is just laying it down, dude.
No, this is all stuff I love to celebrate.
Bro, concessions, you guys break records.
Oh, yeah, per caps, all-time high.
Sick.
More people are buying.
Bro, you need a J-Dogs in here.
Churros. There is a J-Dogs in here.
What?
It's only been over there for like 2 seasons, okay, bro.
My bad.
That's all right.
Yeah. I'm so disconnected.
You're supposed to say we need J-Dogs to cater the media meal.
Yeah. Oh, my God, man. That'd be nice. Please. Dude, I would come to every game. Every game. Yeah. Hey, so what did you hear in the availability? Anything interesting from the guys, their attitudes?
You know, it's a lot more of the same, but it's cool to hear it from different guys, right? Like, you know, Zach McMath talked about, you know, he didn't come into the season expecting to be the starter, but David Ochoa gets hurt the last game in preseason in Portland. His mind had to shift, and Zach's having kind of a, I wouldn't call it a renaissance, because he's always been really, really solid. He might be a little, I don't know if gun shy is the right word, but remember, he was killing it for Colorado under Pablo, and then they went and got Tim Howard. So, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, go ahead. Just checking, make sure it's recording.
Marcelo Silva has been wearing the captain's armband, as you guys know, for I think every game except for one that Demir has missed.
Yep.
Zach actually wore it that one game that Marcelo was out, and I believe that was the New England game. No, it was the game after. Anyway, this is, and you guys have probably seen me say it on Twitter and other places, but this is easily the most tight-knit locker room I've ever seen. And Pablo talks a lot about a player-led culture, but coach-guided. And that was echoed by the guys today as well. And, you know, I think everybody – what I was most impressed by the recent comments is after the game Saturday, Justin Glad really went out of his way to say that the players on the field are really feeling the vibes from the fans, and it's a very symbiotic relationship, and that 12th man is turning the Riot back into the fortress that it was for so long, you know, 12 years ago, right? So getting back to that, that's why we're 4 points off the Supporters' Shield pace. Could be one if we get it in Vancouver, because the rest of the league is literally off this week. So 26 teams are off. Not RSL, not Vancouver. Big opportunity. And then you go into, you get a week off, and then you come into this massive homestand, which a ton of opportunity as you get Anderson Julio back healthy. You get Jefferson Savarino, or I should say Jefferson, integrated. You get Johnny Menendez back. You get Eric Holt back. And suddenly Pablo's got real difficult decisions.
Did you say Krylock in that?
I did not say Krylock.
He's still questionable, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting another opinion on his back situation. And Pablo,
team, dude,
Pablo announced today that that he's going to be out for probably at least a few more weeks, if not longer, depending on the course of action. And, you know, Demir is still around the team a lot every day. He's working out. He's trying to get his back better, trying to get his the nerve issues in his leg responding. And so even though Demir, we don't see him for the 90 minutes right now every Saturday, he's a big part of that locker room, that leadership group of setting the tone for how guys work individually, how they work for each other, how they fight for each other. And I think that's why you're seeing a 5-0-1 home record this year. That's why you're seeing literally the most successful road form in the history of this club with 9 results in the last 13 away, 5 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses, dating back to that comeback win in Dallas that Justin Meram had those 2 assists off the bench. Like, that really kind of changed the tone. And
you put the RSL show in its place when we you said that RSL is notorious for coming back.
Yeah.
You know, after getting a goal. And I think, you know, I just want to say you were right. You were right. I'm shaking your hand
right
now.
Well, dude, I mean, it's that's the belief this team has. That's why since Pablo got here, no team has more goals scored after the 80th minute and no team has won more games after going down 0-1 than Pablo Mastroeni's crew. And,
comeback squad.
That is belief. That is fight. Those are all the intangibles that, you know, it's kind of a fun joke right now to talk about how the XG and the XA and the X this, they kind of don't apply to this team. But now they're starting to apply to this team because if you look at the Montreal win, even the Austin win, and certainly the Houston win, we are out-possessing, out-shooting, out-XG-ing everybody. And it's a lot of fun to see that identity kind of evolve in real time because you remember it was after the loss, I think, in Nashville that Aaron Herrera is like, dude, we got to find our identity. And we didn't have, you know, certainly on the attacking side of things, there wasn't an identity. But you get guys healthy, you get new blood, or I should say returning blood in Julio and Savarino. We'll see what the July transfer window brings. There's an exciting U22 player signing coming up.
What is this, dude? Why are there cars passing here?
This is all...
Do you do this? Do you drive your car?
No. I've never driven my car inside the stadium.
You don't have that kind of clearance,
no.
Huh? Who are these people?
I believe they work for the company that is, or companies, I should say, that are kind of...
Okay.
Upgrading the internal aesthetic of the Riot.
So I didn't know.
The signage people, the painters.
We would have parked the RSL show car right here if we knew that.
Well, yeah. But there's no foot traffic on a Tuesday afternoon.
No, of course not. Hey, so another question that I had for you, Trey Fitzgerald. So we had a debate before you showed up, Josh and I. There were 3 goals scored. And I, you know, if you don't want to comment on this, you don't have to. Because I know you see these guys
every day.
When
have I ever not commented on anything?
You're very transparent. You actually, whatever. That's a whole different conversation. You're very transparent. Who had the best goal of the night out of the 3? Was it Wood, Cordova, or Glad?
So, it's funny. I've seen your poll on Twitter, mm-hmm. and I've seen this topic sort of debated.
Yep.
Wood obviously had the game winner. I think it was a very therapeutic goal for him as well after, you know, him kind of getting denied a couple times back-to-back at Montreal. I'm very pleased, obviously, I think, as everybody should be, of just how dynamic and agile Bobby has been the last few games, mm-hmm. right? Really getting involved, getting integrated, coming back, holding up the ball for his teammates, distributing. I mean, that first goal, he checks all the way back, gets it, whips it out to Chang, makes that far post run, and knocks it home for the game winner. Obviously, Sergio Cordova's goal also similarly, I guess, therapeutic because it was his first home goal. It was in many ways kind of the insurance goal, the dagger, if you will, that really made you feel like, okay, these 3 points are ours. But go back and watch the video of the Justin Glad goal. Like, the
pure joy on
Justin's face, on Miram's face, on just that Marcelo Silva, like, hugging him on the ground, that whole celebration. Like, that's our team in a nutshell right now. Those are the vibes. So, honestly, and I'm not just being politically correct here, I can't pick one. Like, all three of them I feel like are equally important for all the reasons.
There's the PR answer.
Well, I'm not trying to give you a PR answer.
I know.
But it is a team game, and, like, how cool is it that Justin Glad and Sergio Cordova only score in the same game that the other one scores? That's happened three times now this year. It happened in New England, it happened in Montreal, and now it happened here against Houston. I mean, if they can keep that trend going.
Yeah, please, all year.
That's phenomenal.
Glad's reminding me of Borchers right now with his goal scoring, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. I think I've been meaning to go look this up. I think Olave and Borchers back in like 2010.
They were hammering goals.
They got six each maybe in the same year. And the guy I want to talk about right now, Michael Chang.
Yep.
Assist man.
He has one goal and three assists in his last three games.
Mm-hmm.
He has five assists on the year. Four of his assists are game-winning goals. And this is a guy that I think a lot of people don't know. I mean, he's from Cuba,
right?
Which isn't exactly a soccer hotbed.
He came up through the USL.
Yep. Charleston and then Monarchs. And now, the last couple of years, he's just locked down a spot in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Elliot, but he's probably criminally underpaid right now for his production.
Yeah.
It's just and look, this is the guy that I think most people probably thought was going to lose his spot when Savarino comes in.
Right.
But do you flip Chang to the left? Because, like, I think Miram has been awesome this year, but, you know, I think his role coming into this year, he thought it was going to be a lot like it was at the end of last year, where he's that game-changing sub off the bench, you know, with final 20 or 30 minutes. Pablo just has kind of a, I won't call it an embarrassment of riches, but he's got a ton of options between Savarino, Julio, Chang, Miram, Cordova, Wood, Rubin up top, hopefully soon Krylock.
Mm-hmm.
In the midfield, you see what Pablo Ruiz, Jasper Lofelsen are doing in terms of getting forward. You see what Scott Caldwell does protecting that back four.
Mm-hmm.
Everton is still in the mix there as well to provide various options in the midfield for whatever the game calls for. But then that back four has been so solid with Brody and Herrera on the outside, Glad and Silva in the middle in front of Zach. I mean, they've given up only two goals the last three games.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming together at the right time. Now, the guys are quick to remind you, nobody's handing out trophies after 14 games.
Right.
So it's about getting better every day. But walking off the field today on the way to do all the media stuff in Harriman, you know, I asked Pablo how the session was, and he was so happy with the intensity, the togetherness, the fight, the attention to detail, the lack of, I think, satisfaction with recent results, and hopefully the team can go into Vancouver, get a win on turf, which is rare, get another road win, which is rare.
Have we ever beaten Vancouver in Vancouver?
We have twice.
Have we?
And then we beat them once here in what was technically a road game.
Right,
so I think our all-time road record against Vancouver is like 3-10-1.
Okay.
10 losses, that's a lot. Vancouver's hurting right now, but getting a four straight win going into that break, like, that's one of the biggest things for me, other than and look, all my historical trends, Pablo doesn't care about that stuff.
I'm gonna rotate you a little bit here so we can check in.
Sorry. All that historical stuff, Pablo doesn't care about that. Pablo's like, each game is 90 minutes unto itself.
Right.
So yeah, we used to suck on the East Coast, and we used to suck on the road, and we used to suck on turf. Who cares?
Right.
What are we doing these 90 minutes right now? That's what's that's what matters. And so that's fun.
Now, Ben, I got one question for you, Trey. Vancouver did do a cool thing with their crest for this month. I can't remember the exact. It's like an indigenous people.
Right? Yeah.
Is there any way RSL is ever going to do something like that? Because that is something that's very cool.
Well, yeah, possibly. I haven't been involved in those conversations. I wouldn't be surprised. I know Tyler Gibbons and his branding team, they look at a lot of different things. Obviously, they've been focused on upgrading the aesthetic around the stadium. I don't anticipate a massive rebrand, but I think doing cool things like that to honor certain things is right up David Dryden's very, very talented sleeves. So I think time will tell. And
I hope we see something, because I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Would you Would you like to comment on the David Ochoa stuff? There's a lot of people on Twitter asking about
About Facebook though.
Do you hang out on Facebook?
I stay far away from Facebook.
Yeah. I haven't touched Facebook in a minute.
No.
I just get like memes from my aunts, you know, like little teddy bears with hearts. Hugs. Yeah, that's what nice. Anyways. David Ochoa, dude, anything?
Obviously, you know, David had a rough start to the year with the quad injury that had kind of recurred from last year. I think David's been fighting hard to get right, and that means getting right physically. That means getting right mentally. Look, everybody loves David, right? He was such an awesome, galvanizing personality during the playoffs last year.
You're talking past tense.
And all of last year. But this year is different, right? Zach's clearly seized the job. David has not been available. And then when he has become available, you know, he wants to play. Nobody begrudges him that. Like, all 30-whatever guys on our roster want to play 90 minutes week in, week out. And David did the mature thing a few weeks ago, and he's dealing with stuff off the field. We've all heard Pablo kind of talk about that. Like, we're all here for him to find a place of happiness, right, for him to be the best version of himself he can be. And he asked a couple weeks ago, said, hey, if I'm not going to get the reps here because Zach's starting, and Zach's clearly making 2 or 3 game-changing saves per game, let me go train with the Monarchs and let me get 90 minutes a game with the Monarchs. And that's what's happened the last couple weeks. And look, you guys have been around this team, this league, pro sports, this sport, whatever, for a long, long time. You know, heaven forbid, but something could happen to Zach, right? Or something could happen that necessitates David coming back. And look, he's going to go spend some time with the Mexican national team, I think, this summer. And hopefully that's really good for him. Both, he's still 20. I think he maybe just turned 21. So he's a young, young guy. And I don't know, man. Like, a lot of people on and off the field, everybody wants more, right? And that's good. You want to encourage that ambition. But at the same time, like, Zach's been in this league 12 years. Like, he knows what you have to do. And as long as we're getting shutouts and wins, there's not going to be an opportunity for him until there's an injury, there's a family situation. Like, there's a million different things that could cause – that could force Pablo's hand there. But I just it's hard, I think, for all of us that love all of our players. Like, we want to see them play. And certainly, like, we just talked about with Chang, you know. We all love Jefferson Savarino, but how do you take Chang off the field right now with what he's doing? Yeah. How do you take Justin Miram off the field when he's been killing it for 85 minutes a game and put him into a 20-minute super sub role? Like, those are not – those are decisions I'm glad I don't have to make. Right. But and look, we're just not at the part of the season yet. Like, we don't have the Open Cup run to rotate guys. You don't have the schedule congestion yet. We do have a 3-game week, I think, in mid-July where – that stuff will start to shake out, and you're going to need everybody on the roster at some point in the year to endure kind of the marathon of an MLS season. And so there's all kinds of crazy speculation and rumors about David. You know, I think we all hope he's going to be here for a long, long time, and he's going to contribute, and he's going to continue to grow as a professional on and off the field. He's going to grow as a person on and off the field. And, like, you can say that about everybody. So, and I think Pablo's and his staff, Matt Taylor, Nacho, these guys are all the right guys to, because there's nothing that they haven't seen in all their years of this league, this sport. Matt was in Germany for 13 years. Nacho has spent a lot of time in both the U.S. and Mexico developing goalkeepers. Like, this is just like a little tiny snapshot in time in the grand scheme of things for David and for everybody else. And I just think there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of positivity. There's a lot of ambition, despite what you may read online.
Cool.
So,
cool.
I mean, did you see David's Instagram story over the weekend?
Yeah, so it's awesome, dude. He's with like kids.
The Monarchs were off. He goes back to his hometown in Oxnard, and he's clearly an inspiration for those kids.
Oh, big time.
And
it's awesome to see.
You know,
signing gloves. Did you see the photo? So you knew what
to go back and listen to David when he did Alexi Lawless's podcast in March, talking about the U.S.-Mexico rivalry and his decision. Like, he talks about how Zach has been a mentor to him and how Zach has been so good. Like, he knew he wasn't going to just step right in when he was healthy. So I think David's got a great attitude about this. But, you know, there's things that the club can't share. There's things he can't share that just have to do with his personal life. And every player goes through this. You know, we've heard Dunny for years talk about this on the broadcast. You just never know what's going on in somebody's immediate family, their extended family. Everybody has stresses off the field that do affect the way you play on the field. And as Pablo has said a few times, like, we're here for him. We're helping him. He's helping himself. And, you know, the story's not written yet, like everybody kind of asks, I should say. So I'm sure David at some point is going to get great opportunities.
So you're a very positive guy when it comes to Real Salt Lake.
Glass half full, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you get paid to be positive.
Oh, I don't know about levels. That.
Is there anything right now, you know, the team's doing great, you guys are, you know, sellout crowds, mm-hmm. beautiful stadium, you guys are just, I mean, you guys are rocking it, right? Like, you guys are actually getting, like, more attention from the league, too,
yeah.
MLS, right?
I think we're kind of a shocking story. We're
yeah.
well above where expectations were.
Killing it.
Yeah.
So, for all things that are going well, and I think right yeah. now, like, a lot of us fans and, you know, people who make RSL content, we know about the positive. Is there anything that, like, just kind of keeps you up at night? Or is there anything that's just, like, maybe something that the club could improve on? Or is there something specifically that you want to improve yeah. on with, like, the fandom or stadium
sure.
or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think there's anything broken. I don't think, like, obviously everything that's happened this year has been a breath of fresh air. Like, the way that David Blitzer and Ryan Smith and their groups have come in to enhance what we did for a year and a half without an owner when we were a league run team, like, that's encouraging, right? They go out of their way to tell us, hey, we didn't buy this team to move it somewhere to take over. We bought it because you guys are doing a great job and we want to help enhance your abilities. So the way that they trust John Kimball, Pablo, Elliot, Rob Zarkos, Tony, like all those guys that everybody knows, and the way that our senior leadership trusts the rest of us to do right by the players, the fans, the sponsors, the media, like, this is what we're trying to do. So I would just say we're in growth mode, right? So we were in growth mode for a long time when we got to town, when we built this stadium. We've been trying to constantly, like, build a culture, right? And now here we are, and look, we are able to take advantage of a lot of things, positive things that were created between 2014 when Jason left, 2015 when Garth left, 2016 when Manning left. But you have the Monarchs, you have the Academy. Hopefully the Royals come back. Like, there's a million things every day that we're thinking about. How do we keep growing? How do we get more media attention nationally, locally, internationally? How do we get people to appreciate what Pablo Ruiz and Scott Caldwell and Michael Chang are doing when it's easy to talk about Savarino and, you know, whoever's scoring goals in a particular week or month or whatever? It's natural for us all as sports fans to say, okay, who's next? What are we going to do? Are we going to go spend $10 million in the summer on more DPs and more U22s? And, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do for the Monarchs to win MLS Next Pro? And when is, you know, Becky and Kelly and Kristen Press coming back for the Royals? Like, that's natural. But, you know, there are some very, very smart people that are making those decisions. And the great thing that I'll just say about the club right now is everything's very collaborative. There's nobody that's making a decision of forcing it down everybody else's throat. It's what are we doing to make the South End better? And you've seen part of that. What are we doing to make the fan experience better? And we've heard that from David Blitzer and Ryan Smith from day one. You know, Pablo, every day, he's like asking whether it's the medical staff or anybody else, hey, what do we need to do to keep getting a little bit better every day? And that's the attitude. And, you know, Mike Pecky used to say it, but I think Pablo really believes it, that, hey, if the random person walking down the hall has an idea for how we can have a better set piece, defending or attacking, or how we can manage transition or whatever, he's willing to hear that. Like, all anybody wants is success and to get better, and nobody pretends that they have all the answers, and nobody pretends that other people's ideas are bad because they're other people. So
Gotcha. That's
just a long-winded way of saying that we are tight-knit, we're together, and that's on and off the field. So I'm not trying to. Somebody compared me on Twitter the other day to the RSL Ted Lasso.
Hey, and someone's got to do it.
I don't think they meant it in a good way, which is fine. I don't care. I mean, I do care because I'm sensitive, but that. I mean, Ted Lasso. Like, Pablo's never seen Ted Lasso. It was funny because he gets asked about it a lot. But that really is sort of kind of the attitude. Is, hey, we're all in this together. And what can we do? And maybe somebody does on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever does have a random thought that could create a kernel of truth over here to grow into something. But, you know, nobody's satisfied, but not for the wrong reasons. People aren't satisfied because until we're raising a trophy and until we're, you know, trying to figure out how to make this building 30,000. Like, yeah. I don't think people are going to be happy until then, right? And it doesn't mean, I should say happy, satisfied, right? Because there's still just a long way to go for the sport in this country, for us in this community, for the league. Like, and again, not to beat a dead horse or spew cliches at you guys, but it is about kind of getting a little bit better every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got some big national media articles coming out about us, whether it's about Julio Benitez and his family situation coming out of COVID in the academy. And now, you know, he's on an RSL contract, but he's been playing with the Monarchs. We've seen MLS soccer. We've seen The Athletic. We've seen some of the other big journalistic entities talk about the culture here and the people. And, you know, we want all the TV stations will be talking about us every night like they do about the Jazz, right? We want both newspapers in their new digital editions to be traveling with us every week. So there's always room for improvement. We want your podcast and the number one podcast, Claret and Cobalt, to continue to grow. ESPN 700's Arbitron ratings are excellent. ESPN 700's digital downloads every week.
Just
when
remember this is KSL.
Well, I'm getting there. You know, those are doing well. Obviously, the partnership between KSL and 1280 is exposing the sport to a lot of new fans. And that's where, you know, David James does a great job. Brian Dunseth is literally the number one ambassador in the history of this club. He has a national satellite radio show every single day that he's going to get back on to once he handles kind of the family stuff that he's been dealing with off the field. Like, that's great for us. And, I mean, you guys know how this sport works. I don't want to see us sell any of our players ever. You know, when we signed Justin Gladden, Jordan Allen 7 years ago, I wanted them to play for us for 20 years. I used to argue with Craig Weibel and Elliot, like, hey, when we sell those guys.
I'll argue too.
But one of the ways in which this club is going to garner international headlines is when we do sell somebody.
Yep.
And, you know, there's always going to be, and this is just endemic to the sport and to the process, is you wonder, like, I mean, we just saw it the other day, right? Dane Murphy was hired by Elliott and Weibel as a scout at Real Salt Lake, 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He he matriculated to become the technical director of this club. He then went and became the technical director at DC United for 2 months. Then he went over and rescued Barnsley from relegation, moved to Nottingham Forest this year, becomes the EFL, which is the English Football League for all the lower leagues. Their CEO of the year was named that a month ago. And then on just a couple days ago, they win promotion to the Premier League. Like, what a story. And there are, obviously all of us are like, well, what would have happened if Dane had stayed here? Well, we don't know that, but there was an opportunity. So he went and found opportunity. And obviously him and Taymor, who's a good friend of ours, and Tim Weaver, who used to work here, those guys are enjoying the ride of their life. And we're all very, very happy for them. It doesn't take away from what we can and have and will do here. And that's the world, right? Like, we could sell one of our players tomorrow, and they could go to, I don't know, AC Milan or Tottenham or wherever and have a great career. And we'll be like, man, we made that happen for him. Or they could, this happens to guys every day. It's very situational, right? Where your agent or your family or somebody gives you bad advice and you make a move and then you end up being a journeyman. Mm-hmm. And look at, I don't know,
Carlos
Freddie
Salcedo.
Adu. Yeah, Carlos Salcedo, although I'd say his career trajectory...
Still good,
while
but
a little
journeyman.
Stunted.
Yeah,
I mean, he's played for, what, 5 clubs in 7 years or something?
Yep.
So, there's no magic blueprint. There's no formula, because everything is very evolutionary and fluid, and it's all about capturing those moments, right? Like we did in 2009, like we almost did in 2013, and who knows, maybe 2022 is a year where it all kind of comes together.
You guys still holding on to, like, Team is the Star? Like, that's something that I don't really see marketed much. Is
no,
it still hanging
I mean, that,
up?
That was a
there?
Very Jason thing. You know, I think if you look at what Pablo has painted in the locker room here, you know, you have mentality, you have determination, you have togetherness. So the team is the star, I think, is something that will always be kind of part of our DNA, right? Like, it's not about an individual or 3 DPs that make $5 million a year more than everybody else combined, you know, that kind of stuff. And we've seen that in L.A. We've seen that with some of the teams around. You know, and I think it might have even been a Freddie thing when Pablo came last year, but you do see the, like, pressure is a privilege sign. So the pressure to perform in front of 20,000 plus every week, the pressure to win a job, to wear the shirt, the pressure to speak eloquently with you, like, that is a privilege. And it is all about kind of spreading that RSL gospel. So it is,
I like it.
You know, I think the as one is always going to be part of this. Team is the star. Fortune favors the bold. Some of those were established by Jason and Garth because they went through the most radical philosophical renewal or change in the club's history. Yeah. But, you know, we're still the smallest market in the league. I wouldn't always believe some of the things you say about us being the lowest payroll in the league. Obviously, that did not include Savarino, Julio, and some other things. So, we'll be mid-table, and I think our owners are willing to spend when they need to push you over the top or improve. But we don't need to spend $18 million on DPs, because the data shows in the history of this league that doesn't help you win games.
Yeah.
Spreading that money around the roster and having balance, and obviously we're still a development-first club. Like, you look at everything we put out, we lead with the homegrown. So you lead with an Aaron Herrera or a Justin Glad, or, you know, even Chang came up through the Monarchs. Ruiz came up. Certainly Andrew Brody came up through the academy. Tate Schmidt, David Ochoa. But the Monarchs is an important developmental piece. It's not just about who came up through the academy. So that's where you could look at it financially or on a spreadsheet and say, okay, that's where the value is. But, like, there's a reason Savarino wanted to come back. You guys have heard him talk about how unified the locker room is. Demir Krylock saying he's the most talented guy he's ever played with. Him convincing Pablo and Elliot and Kurt and ownership, hey, let's go get this guy. Those guys obviously always wanted Severino back. Severino, when we bought him, it was the most money we ever paid for a player. When we sold him, it was the most money I think we ever got for a player. And then when we just bought him again, we got him for actually less than we paid for him the first time, and he's a much more mature, accomplished guy.
Yeah.
Anderson Julio, yes, we would have liked him in February, but to make the deal financially sound and to work the way it did, we had to wait until May.
Yeah.
And that saved $750,000 that maybe you can go out and spend that somewhere else.
Yeah.
We'll see what the summer window brings, but who knows? You know, Chris Garcia may blossom into a guy, or Bode Davis or Axel Kai, or obviously Haziel Orozco has been awesome in the 3.5 games he's already played this year for us. Like, there's a lot of guys that are still growing and waiting to emerge. And
yeah,
I don't look at that stuff financially. I look at that stuff as, hey, who's helping us win games today, tomorrow? Who's helping us win a cup?
Yeah.
You know, that's the fun stuff.
It's the dream. You want a cup? Yeah? Another cup? I'd love another cup. Yeah, we love another cup. Trey, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, it's been a great, phenomenal
time. Love having
time.
You guys out here.
Love that this is your office, man. You like coming to this every single day?
I do. You know, there was a time when I had my daily office here, and I was down in the dungeon sort of area, and I asked Bill Manning, I said, let me have my office up in the press box, because I want to look at green grass and blue sky and
mountains,
red seats and snow-capped mountains every day.
Looks great.
And so now that I'm in Harriman every day, when I do come here, I spend a lot of time in the press box kind of looking out over this.
Yep.
You can't beat it, man. This is Dan Farn's playground, and we love him for it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we get to do more of these if we don't upset anybody with what we said.
No, hey, man, we love having you guys out. Anything you need, appreciate you keeping the fans informed. Both new fans and old about what's going on.
Yeah,
and,
but you would say we're the number two podcast.
Number two with a bullet. It means you guys are always on the ascent.
All right. You know, we've been doing this a lot longer than I mean, I guess you chose the colors. I guess you like had some part in naming the club. So you could have number one.
I wouldn't say
whatever.
I chose the colors. Dave Checkitz chose the colors. I just gave them witty names.
Claret and Cobalt. I love that, man. Do you have that tattooed anywhere on your body?
No, not yet.
You need to?
Yeah.
If they want to
come. Who's your tattoo guy?
His name is Matthew Miskell over at Look Look Tattoo.
Yeah, but yours is Yellow Rose?
Tiger Claw.
Tiger Claw. Okay.
Tiger Claw.
There's so many cool tattoo places in Salt Lake.
Yeah. I grew up with I grew up with Shay McAfee, the owner of Tiger Claw.
Okay.
Yeah. He knocked on my door one time and he said, I'm going to be a tattoo artist. And I said, dude, no one's going to let you tattoo them. And now look at them. So believe. Look what happens. Yeah,
that's really the main slogan, obviously.
Yeah.
Every day we believe that we can be a little bit better.
If RSL wins a cup, you got to get, like, believe just across your chest. Yeah.
Chest piece is my initial tattoo.
Shoulder to shoulder, old English
belief. Yeah.
You know what?
Old English back. Okay, yeah.
It's probably too much information for you guys, but.
Oh.
The priest in Romeo and Juliet, you know, with Leonardo DiCaprio, and I'm blanking on the female's name in that role, but the priest had a Celtic cross tattooed across his entire back. I've always thought that might be my tattoo.
Except the cup, dude, or like the RSL.
We gotta get Lobo's face and
something,
an MLS cup,
yeah,
CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, dude. We can give you some good advice.
Can't get a sleeve unless I start working out.
Guys, the RSL show brought to you by One Wire Fiber and KSL Sports. Josh, you want to step back in? You got anything to say? No? All right, no?
Claret and Cobalt also brought to you by One Wire Fiber.
Yeah. We made that
Adam Sessions is the man.
He is the man. Keep it here for all your RSL news, obviously. RSL show, Claret and Cobalt teaming up here. Can't thank Real Salt Lake enough for letting us do this here at the Riot on a beautiful day. And I think that, is that Dan Farns now, or is that, no? All right. Does Dan Farns even do any work on the grass anymore? Does he just, like, he takes the credit, huh? Yeah, he takes the credit.
He points and shoots and tells people where to go.
Yeah.
Kind of like somebody else I know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Tom guys. Hackett.
Yeah, totally. Thanks for listening to the RSL show, a.k.a. whatever, Claret and Cobalt. All right, see you guys.
Thank you.
stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.